Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Narayanam namaskritya. Naranjaiva narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Ato jayamudirayat. Nasta praeshu abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naisikir. So today we'll start chapter 6, canto 2, Cosmic Manifestation, chapter 6, Purusha Shukta confirmed. But before that, just want to read from Burijan Prabhu, from his book Unveiling His Lotus Feet, about the Virat Universal Form. Okay. Okay. So he writes from Prabhupada's purport. So the universal form of the Lord is the secondary imagination or the impersonal form of the Lord. But the primary form of the Lord is Shyama Sundar with two hands playing on his eternal flute. However, we cannot say that the Lord's universal form is fully imaginary as if it did not exist. In Bhagavatam 3.6.8 states, the gigantic universal form of the Supreme Lord is the first incarnation and plenary portion of the Supersoul. While commenting on Krishna's disappearance from the world in his purport to Bhagavatam 3.4.29, Srila Prabhupada writes, he has his universal form as manifested before Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Here in this verse, the word spitam is also used, which indicates that he left his gigantic universal form called the Virat Rupa, not his primeval eternal form, because there is hardly any possibility of his changing his form of Sachit Ananda. Srila Prabhupada makes the universal form's position clear. The Virat Rupa or Vishva Rupa, the gigantic universal form of the Lord, which is very much appreciated by the impersonalists, is not an eternal form of the Lord. It is manifested by the supreme will of the Lord after the ingredients of material creation. The Virat Rupa is not, therefore, an eternal form of the Lord exhibited in the spiritual sky. It is a material manifestation of the Lord. The Archa Vigraha or the worshipable deity in the temple is a similar manifestation of the Lord for the neophytes. But in spite of their material touch, such forms of the Lord as the Virat and Archa are all non-different from his eternal form as Lord Krishna. Krishna's universal form serves the creation almost as a blueprint, positioning everything in the material world in its proper functional position. Then after that, in the last few verses, Brahma explains how the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas all are in different parts of the bodies, the planetary systems and so on. So I wanted you all to also hear that. Yeah, it's very nice. So today we'll go with chapter 6. So from text 1 to 24, the Lord, the Supreme Controller, is himself beyond the Virat Purusha. Alright, text 1. Brahma Vacha Vacham Vani Mukham Kshetram Chandasam Shapta Datavaha Havya Kavyamritanannam Jiva Sarva Rasasya Cha. Lord Brahma said, the mouth of the Virat Purusha, the universal form of the Lord, is the generating center of the voice, and the controlling deity is fire. His skin and six other layers are the generating centers of the Vedic hymns, and his tongue is a productive center of different foodstuffs and delicacies for offering to the demigods, the forefathers, and the general mass of people. So for the next few verses, Brahma is describing the Lord and his position. In the Purport, Srila Prabhupada writes a few lines from the first paragraph on from the top. He says, the Lord in his transcendental form is not without any of these qualities or senses, like voice, tongue, skin, all this. It's there in the Lord, but it is spiritual. And later on, he says, the only difference is that material activities are contaminated by the three modes of material nature. Whereas the potencies in the spiritual world are all pure because they are engaged in the unalloyed transcendental loving service of the Lord. Okay? Because in the spiritual world, the Lord is always the enjoyer and the living entities always engage in his service. And they are not contaminated by any modes over there. There's no three modes like you find in this material realm. And then Srila Prabhupada quotes how devotional service is defined in Narada Pancharatrika. And then he explains, the perfection of life can be attained simply by purifying the present position of our material activities. That means connecting everything to Shri Krishna. We can do many things, but if it's not connected to Krishna, then we are contaminated. And our position cannot be purified. Text 2. Sarvasunam cha vayuscha
Sarvasunam cha vayuscha
Tannase paramayane
Tannase paramayane
Ashvinor oshadinam cha
Ashvinor oshadinam cha
Granomoda
pramodaya.
His two nostrils are the generating centers of our breathing and of all other airs. His smelling powers generate the Asvini Kumara demigods and all kinds of medicinal herbs, and his breathing energies produce different kinds of fragrance. Text 3. Rupanam tejasam chakshur
Rupanam tejasam chakshur
Divasu yasya chakshini
Divasu yasya chakshini
Karno disham cha tirtanam
Karno disham cha tirtanam
Shrotram akasha shabdayo
Shrotram akasha shabdayo.
His eyes are the generating centers of all kinds of forms, and they glitter and illuminate. His eyeballs are like the sun and the heavenly planets. His ears hear from all sides and are receptacles for all the Vedas. And his sense of hearing is the generating center of the sky and of all kinds of sound. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Tirthanam is sometimes interpreted to mean the places of pilgrimage. Tirtha. But Srila Jiva Goswami says that it means the reception of the Vedic transcendental knowledge. The propounders of the Vedic knowledge are also known as Tirthas. Okay. Text 4. Tad gatram vastu saranam Sobhagasya cha bhajanam Tvak asya sparsha vayuscha Sarvamedasya chaivahi His bodily surface is a breathing ground for the active principles of everything and for all kinds of auspicious opportunities. His skin, like the moving air, is a generating center for all kinds of sense of touch and is a place for performing all kinds of sacrifice. Right. So this is more how it's related, more elements, how they are related to his body. Text 5. Romani udbija jati nam.
Romani udbija jati nam.
Yarva yaknastu sambritaha.
Yarva yaknastu sambritaha.
Kesha smashu nakani asya.
Kesha smashu nakani asya.
Shila loha bra vidyutam.
Shila loha bra vidyutam.
The hairs on his body are the cause of all vegetation, particularly of those trees which are required as ingredients for sacrifice. The hairs on his head and face are reservoirs for the clouds, and his nails are the breathing ground of electricity, stones and iron ores. So more comparison with this form, to different elements, or in this case like trees, stones and so on. Text 6. Bahavo lokapalanam praya shakshema karmanam. The translation: the Lord's arms are the productive fields for the great demigods, and other leaders are the living entities who protect the general mass. The Prabhupada says this important verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is corroborated and nicely explained in the Bhagavad Gita 10:41-42 as follows. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad ujitam eva vah tat tat eva avagachatvam mamateja hangsa sambhavam. That means he's saying, know that all opulent and beautiful and glorious creation spring from but a spark of my splendor. And then he says, Atava bahu naitena kinyatena tava arjuna vistabhyaham idam krishnam ekam shena stito jagat. But what need is there, Arjuna, for this knowledge and so detailed? With a single fragment of myself I pervade and support the entire universe. So he is very powerful basically. And particularly Srila Prabhupada wants us to understand that all these powerful people, learned scholars, scientists, so many you can find within this universe, there's so many of them. And what are they doing? They are all protecting the interests of the universal affairs to some extent, of maintenance, in different positions. And all of them are different. Powerful parts and parcels of this Supreme Lord. That's the point Srila Prabhupada is trying to say. Because they are all expansions of his energy, part and parcel. So then a line or two lines later, Srila Prabhupada says, some of them, as particularly mentioned above, are specifically endowed with powers by the will of the Lord. So they are, like Shaktivesh, they are empowered. Avesha. The jivas are given some powers. And Prabhupada then wants to make us understand that even if someone has so much power, then that person is neither absolute or independent. Because they are getting power from somebody else, so how can they be independent of that person? Or how can they be the absolute person? They are not like that. So then Prabhupada continues a couple of lines later. As long as the powerful men of the world do not accept the origin of their respective powers, namely the personality of Godhead, the actions of Maya, illusion, will continue to act. The actions of Maya are such that a powerful person, misled by the illusory material energy, wrongly accepts himself as all in all and does not develop God consciousness. As such, the false sense of egoism, namely myself and mine, has become overly prominent in the world, and there is a hard struggle for existence in human society. So basically, because of our ego, we identify everything that can be done as our own achievement. Prakriti kriyamanini gune sarva sarvasaha. It's the ahankara which is covering him, and then he's thinking, I am the doer. But here, according to this verse, we can understand everything is actually bestowed by the Lord and it's coming from Him. That unless one understands that, then we are struggling, thinking that how to do this. So Prabhupada says, overly prominent in this world, this kind of thinking, myself, mine. And so everyone is working so hard. And Prabhupada says, people must accept this, otherwise they will always be unhappy. And a few lines later, he says, if a person tries to reciprocate a feeling of love towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and is satisfied with the blessings of the Lord, he will at once feel the highest peace of mind for which he is hankering life after life. So basically, if with false ego, what we are trying to do is we are trying to control everything and enjoy everything. But we are always finding ourselves struggling. And we are always trying to get more and more, not knowing what is sufficient and what we don't need more. What is insufficient also we don't know, because we have no understanding of the needs of the soul. That's one thing. The other thing is, even though we know, or with proper education, we know we don't need more than certain things, still we will accumulate. So these are all based on greed, which comes because of this ego in oneself. This is me, myself, I made this, so why I have to share with someone else? Why I have to let someone else also make same profit? If I can control it, then I can make more profit. So this is the kind of thinking that goes on. But here Prabhupada says, if the person does that, he or she is going to be very unhappy. Because it's a struggle, it's too much to, you know. You can work up to a certain limit, peacefully. Then if you want to accumulate more and more, then you spend so much time. I've been to, like in Hong Kong, I've seen people, they work in the morning, they go in the morning, 6 in the morning. Then some of them, they come back by, 5 to 6 hours they work, they come back by noon. And then you see them, they come home, then they take quickly eating lunch. Then after they finish, by 1 or 2 o'clock, they go change up and they go to some other work. From like 1 o'clock or 2. And then they come back again, like 6 in the evening or 7. And then they take shower, they take dinner, and then they go out again to work in the night, some other stall or something. Because they find that they need so many things. And then the place they all living is small flats, and then the cost of living is so high, the rent is so high, but they want to stay there. It's prestige, position, pride. So they go out and work 3 jobs like that. And then in the end they come back around midnight, and then they watch some TV and eat again. And then they sleep for 4, 5, 6 hours. So much austerities they do.
They don't have time to enjoy what they want.
Yeah, because different cultures have different emphasis. So I find that most of them, they work hard for their children in that culture. So they are thinking, I will work hard, but my future generation, they will enjoy like that. Every generation think like that, I'm not sure. But if we then understand what the soul needs, or what a normal human being needs to survive, then you don't need to do all that. All we have to do is, as Prabhupada says, if the person tries to reciprocate a feeling of love towards the Supreme Lord, he becomes satisfied by the blessing of the Lord. And then he will feel peaceful. What more you want? If you have a roof over your house, if you can eat to fill your belly, and if you can sleep peacefully, what more do you need? What extra things do you need? Right? Like we keep saying, right? People have so much money. I went to one place also, and they had everything gold. The bathroom, the toilet. And what difference does it make, right? If you pass still in that, you pass still. It doesn't mean if you pass still in a gold commode, it's different from one in the normal thing. But people are like that. They don't know what to do. And then they spend and they invite people to see what I have, What is the difference between that and another person who don't have those things, but have all the similar facilities? So just working hard and suffering, struggling. So then they don't get peace of mind. Not possible to have peace of mind. So in any case, Srila Prabhupada said, peace of mind, or in other words, the healthy state of mind can be achieved only when the mind is situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So this information is available to devotees. As practicing devotees, we should understand, how am I going to be peaceful? Because as devotees, we also forget, right? We forget that we should be peaceful and contented. No, we also go, because our association is no good, we also tend to acquire such qualities. Bad association will generate bad qualities. So that understanding must be there. And how to be healthy state of mind? Whatever you put in that mind will make the mind either healthy or crazy. Yeah. So when the emphasis is to please the Lord, and then we know whatever we do, we need to connect it with the Lord. If that is our thinking process on the daily basis, then we find that somehow or other the Lord will give us the intelligence to connect to Him. But if we are not thinking like that daily, then how can the Lord guide us? Once or twice the Lord will guide you through different personalities. But if you are really not interested, then the Lord will say, okay, Maya, you guide them, you know. And she really guide us by kicking. Then Prabhupada says, the parts and parcels of the Lord are endowed with specific powers for rendering service unto the Lord. Just as a big business magnate's sons are empowered with specific powers of administration. The obedient son of the father never goes against the will of the father, and therefore passes life very peacefully in concurrence with the head of the family, the father. So just like in a normal business, you see powerful personalities, they don't give it to someone else. They usually train their children, sons or what. And then if the sons follow, the father then will give them full power. And same way, if we follow what Krishna wants, then we also will get the blessings of the Lord to be peaceful. And so we should learn to become satisfied to serve the Lord. And that's basically what Srila Prabhupada emphasizes in this purport. Understanding that nothing, no one is powerful without the sanction of the Lord. No one can be happy otherwise. Text 7. Vikramo bhur bhuva swascha.
Vikramo bhur bhuva swascha.
Shemasya sharanasya cha.
Shemasya sharanasya cha.
Sarvakama varasyapi.
Sarvakama varasyapi.
Hareshcharana ashpadam.
Hareshcharana ashpadam.
Thus, the forward steps of the Lord are the shelter for the upper, lower and heavenly planets, as well as for all that we need. His lotus feet serve as protection from all kinds of fear. So, if we want to be free from fear, we have to take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. And this is also discussed in Canto 1 also. And the Lord's lotus feet is always, He's always standing in the lotus also. His planet is also shaped like a lotus. So, His feet is always in the lotus. That's one thing. But in another sense, Srila Prabhupada also explains, for absolute protection from all sorts of fear, as well as for all our needs of life, we must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, not only in this planet, but also in all the upper, lower and heavenly planets. So Prabhupada just doesn't say, only we must take shelter. He says, everyone else. He's talking about the whole universe. This instruction is for everyone, every living entity. So we shouldn't think, oh, we are the only one following this kind of instructions. These are also happening in the heavenly planets and also in the lower planet, where devotees are also performing service to the Lord. So then he continues, this absolute dependence on the lotus feet of the Lord is called pure devotional service. That means the faith of such a person is very, very strong. And therefore they are absolutely dependent on the Lord. Now we cannot say, in this case, sometimes people will question, oh, I want to do it, you know. So from tomorrow I quit my job and then I will just chant Hare Krishna at home. And then I'm depending absolutely on Krishna. And Krishna will provide for everything. That's not going to happen, right? Unless we are at a certain level of advancement, we can't do that. And even then, if you say if you are at that level, you will notice that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, just to set good examples, the pure devotees don't do such things. They will also do those activities. Like he quotes, like even Janaka, he gives example of Janak Maharaj. He's a pure devotee, but he's a Mahajan, but he's still following the rules and regulations, duties and so on. And he also said, therefore I also have to follow, otherwise people will follow me and then I'll be the cause of their ruination. So therefore he makes it very clear. Because Arjuna didn't want to fight for some reason, so he's showing, no, you have to set good example. Otherwise the whole society will collapse for the wrong actions we do. So this absolute dependence on the lotus feet is therefore called pure devotional service. We do our duty and we depend on the mercy of the Lord. We work hard, but we depend on whatever the result is. But we are not attached to the results. So that is the absolute dependence. No one should have any kind of doubt in this matter, nor should one be inclined to seek the help of any other demigods. Because all of them are dependent on him only. So again, Prabhupada emphasizes this point, depending on demigod. This is like third or fourth time he has mentioned in this chapter itself. Everyone except the Lord himself is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And then look at this. Even the all-pervading super soul is also dependent on the supreme aspect of Bhagavan, the personality of God here. So even the super soul is dependent on Krishna. Because he is expansion of Krishna. So even that super soul is dependent. And within this material universe, these Purusha avatars are not permanent. They are just here for the material creation only. Otherwise, they won't have to be here. Text 8. Apam viryasya sargasya parjanyasya prajapate Pumsa Shishna Upastastu Prajati Ananda Nirvrite. From the Lord's genitals originate water, semen, generatives, rains, and the procreators. His genitals are the cause of a pleasure that counteracts the distress of begetting. Then Prabhupada says the genitals and the pleasure of begetting counteract the distresses of family and encumbrances. So, you know, when people get married and so on, there's so many difficulties. And it's not easy because you have to deal with another person's mind. Already you have a problem with your own mind. It's true, we all have so many things. Then you have to deal with another person's mind and thinking and understanding. So the creation is done so that you can have some enjoyment. So that's what it is. So therefore you have the pleasure of sexual life. But Prabhupada makes it very clear that we shouldn't use it for simply sense gratification. Rather, one should use it to beget Krishna conscious children. So that is the main point here. And Prabhupada makes a point very strongly. He says, therefore, the sex life in the material world should not be encouraged beyond the necessity. That's all. This is towards the middle of the purport. Otherwise, they're just simply wasting their time trying to enjoy. Uselessly. Prabhupada says, the degraded form of family restriction by use of contraceptives, etc., is the grossest type of material contamination. Okay. Materialists who use these devices want to fully utilize the pleasure potency of the coating on the genitals by artificial means without knowing the spiritual importance. And without knowledge of spiritual values, the less intelligent man tries to utilize only the material sense pleasure of the genitals. And so they don't know and they misuse and they suffer sinful life. Text 9.
Payu yamasya mitrasya
parimokshasya narada
hingsaya
nirriter mrityu nirayasya gudam smritaha. O Narada, the evacuating outlet of the universal form of the Lord is the abode of the controlling deity of death, Mitra, and the evacuating hole and the rectum of the Lord is the place of envy, misfortune, death, hell, etc. Still describing the form. Text 10. Parabhuter adharmasya tamasascha pi paschima nadyo nada nadi namcha gotranam asti samhati. The back of the Lord is the place for all kinds of frustration and ignorance as well as for immorality. From his veins flow the great rivers and rivulets, and on his bones are stacked the great mountains. So there's a front of the Lord and the back of the Lord. So the back of the Lord is a place of ignorance and all kinds of things that are immoral. Alright, so then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, in order to defy the personal conception of Supreme Personality of Godhead, a systematic analysis of the physiological and anatomical constitution of his transcendental body is given here. So by explaining this way, Lord Brahma or even Sukadeva Goswami, they are showing us that the Lord actually has a form. Not that he is impersonal. Okay? So, Prabhupada wants to make us understand also, the point is we are so ingrained in impersonal lifestyles. Even in this, even as devotees, even though we know the Lord has forms and so on, still, because of the conditioning we grew up in, we are always interacting with one another in an impersonal way. Yeah? Right? For example, you may say, no, you don't. But if somebody you are not so close with and you don't really want to deal with them so much, let's say they call you on the cell phone. You look at the number and you say, I'm not going to answer this guy or this person. That is impersonal. Yeah. The mood we develop is very important. So, Prabhupada knows how we have been going through this society. He understands perfectly. So, his point is always there in personal conception. And then as soon as we have a chance for something impersonal, we will accept that. So, time and time again, he wants to smash that understanding of his personal conception, particularly for the Supreme Lord. It is so pervasive. Everywhere you go, people think there is no Supreme Person with a form. They think the Supreme is energy, or infinitely powerful energy source that can come and take a form. So that's how they think. And so Prabhupada wants us to have this understanding so concrete that no matter what happens, we know the Lord has a form. Yeah. And from his form comes everything else, both impersonal as well as the part and parcels and his various energies. Alright, it is clear from the available description of the body of the Lord, in this case his universal form, that the form of the Lord is distinct from the forms of ordinary mundane conception. In any case, he is never a formless void. Ignorance is the back of the Lord, and therefore the ignorance of the less intelligent class of men is also not separate from his bodily conception. Since his body is a complete whole of everything that be, one cannot assert that he is impersonal only. That's very good answer. He has everything, so there's also impersonal there. So if there's impersonal, there must be personal also. So then Prabhupada says, the perfect description of the Lord holds that he is both impersonal and personal simultaneously. Okay. Text 11. Avyaktarasa-sindhunam Bhutanam nidanasya cha Udaram viditam pumso Hridayam manasapadam. The impersonal feature of the Lord is the abode of great oceans, and his belly is a resting place for the materially annihilated living entities. His heart is the abode of the subtle material bodies of living beings. Thus, it is known by the intelligent class of men. In the Bhagavad Gita 8, 17 and 18, Sahasra Yuga Pariyantam Aharyat Brahmano Vidu Ratrim Yuga Sahasrantam Teho Ratra Vido Janaya. So it takes 1,000 ages to form the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. And avyaktat avyaktai sarva prabhavanti ahar agami ratri agami praliyanti, you know, the destruction and formation. So, and therefore you say, according to the human calculation. So again, he, Srila Prabhupada, wants to show 1,000 ages of 4 millenniums. That means 4.3 million years times 1,000. And the same period for his night. So it's 8.6 million times 1,000. So that's just only one day. So practically his life is 311,040,000,000,000 years. It lives for long. But from his point of view, his life is 100 years only. So that's the description Prabhupada is. Now, and then he dies according to the statement. Then Prabhupada explains, a Brahma who is generally a great devotee. That means they can be not a devotee also. But here he says, generally they are a devotee. Attains liberation after such a downfall. The universe called the Brahmanda, the round football-like domain controlled by Brahma, is thus annihilated, and thus the inhabitants of a particular planet or of the whole universe are also annihilated. Okay, that means everybody is have to give up their body, and then it's wrapped up, and then they go back into the body of the Lord. So, avyakta here, Prabhupada says, mentioned here means the night of the Brahma, when partial annihilation takes place, and the living entities of that particular Brahmananda up to the planets of Brahmaloka, along with the big oceans, etc., all repose in the belly of the Virat Purusha. At the end of a Brahma's night, the creation again takes place, and the living entities reserved within the belly of the Lord are let loose to play their respective parts as if been awakened from a deep slumber. Okay? So it's not like, you know, they die, they cannot, they are spirit souls. So they are just put into like a sleep. Sometimes you can sleep, sometimes people go in coma many months, but then they wake up, for them it's only like a short time like that. Mm. Yeah. Deep sleep, yeah. The human life is meant for making a solution to this repeated change of bodies, and thereby attaining a place in the spiritual sky where everything is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. See, Prabhupada mentioned this many, many times. Right? So many times. Why? Because it doesn't get into our head. Why? Because we can see ourselves after all this, still when we go out to work, we are finished. We forget all these connections. Completely, we don't even think about that, you know, I have to go back to Godhead. That's why we say it so many times. Alright, text 12. Dharmasya mamatubhyam cha.
Dharmasya mamatubhyam cha.
Kumaranam bhavasya cha.
Kumaranam bhavasya cha.
Vijnanasya cha sadvasya.
Vijnanasya sadvasya.
Parasyatma parayanam.
Parasyatma parayanam.
Also, the consciousness of that great personality is the abode of religious principles. Mine, yours, and those of the four bachelors, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanat Kumara, and Sanandana. That consciousness is also the abode of truth and transcendental knowledge. He's giving further description. Continuing, text 13 to 16. Aham bhavam bhavaschaiva.
Aham bhavam bhavaschaiva.
Taima munayo grajaha. Sura sura nara naga.
Sura sura nara naga.
Kaga mrga sarishpripa.
Kaga mrga sarishpripa.
Gandharvapsharasho
yaksha. Gandharvapsharasho
yaksha. Raksho bhuta ganoraga.
Raksho bhuta ganoraga.
Pashava pitara siddha.
Pashava pitara siddha.
Vidhyadaras charana druma.
Vidhyadaras charana druma.
Anyecha vivida jiva.
Anyecha vivida jiva.
Jalastala nabokasha.
Jalastala nabokasha.
Grahar harksha ketavastaras.
Grahaksha ketavastaras.
Tadita stana yitnavaha.
Tadita stana yitnavaha.
Sarvam purusha evedam.
Sarvam purusha evedam.
Bhutam bhavyam bhavachayat.
Bhutam bhavyam bhavachayat.
Tenedam avritam vishvam.
Tenedam avritam vishvam.
Vitastim adithistati.
Vitastim adithistati.
Translation. Beginning from me, Brahma, down to you and Bhava, Shiva, all the great sages who were born before you, the demigods, the demons, the nagas, the human beings, the birds, the beasts, as well as the reptiles, etc., and all phenomenal manifestations of the universes, namely the planets, stars, asteroids, luminaries, lightning, thunder, and the inhabitants of the different planetary systems, namely the Gandharvas, Apsaras, Yakshas, Rakshas, Bhuta, Ganas, Uragas, Pashush, Pithas, Siddhas, Vidyadharas, Charanas, and all other different varieties of living entities, including the birds, beasts, trees, and everything that be, are all covered by the universal form of the Lord at all times, namely past, present, and future, although he is transcendental to all of them, eternally existing in a form not exceeding 9 inches. He is also describing how big he is. The Supreme Person of Godhead, Prabhupada writes, By his partial representation, measuring not more than 9 inches as super soul. Now, previously we read he was about 8 inches. Now it's about, so, you know, it's about there, 8-9 inches. Not necessarily, you know, don't just argue and fight that this is only this, you know.
Because,
he's immeasurable. But, you know, it's described like that. But he says about 8 inches, so 9 inches is still good enough, okay? So don't get into too much anxiety about he's only 8 inches and then some group, and then you have two groups, an 8 inch group and a 9 inch group, and fighting about this. The idea is he's there in the heart, and it's approximately that big. He could be anything size, okay, but that's, we understand from the Puranas and scriptures, he said not exceeding 9, so he could be 8, 8.5, 8.9, 9, like that. So, I just don't want you all to get into so much, because sometimes people come and argue, no, he's this and that. So, when you hear that, yeah, good enough, you know. Okay, then Prabhupada says, expands by his own energy in the shape of the universal form, which includes everything manifested in different varieties of organic and inorganic materials. The manifested varieties of universe are therefore not different from the Lord, just as golden ornaments of different shapes and forms are non-different from the original stock reserve of gold. Basically, part and parcel. And so there's no, in terms of spirituality, there's no difference. Qualitatively, we're the same. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:4-5, it says, he is therefore said to be Yogeshwara. Everything rests on the potency of the Lord Sri Krishna, and still the Lord is different from and transcendental to all such identities. So in the Vedic Purusha Shukta of the Rig Mantra, this is also confirmed. This philosophical truth of simultaneous oneness and difference was propounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it is known as Achincha Bheda Bheda Tattva. And that means everything is simultaneously one with and different from everything else. So it's created by the Supreme Lord. By his material energy is also simultaneously different and non-different from him. It is at the same time, it's his energy, material energy. It may act in a different way because it's different from him, but it is his energy only, it's transformed. So the same way the individual living entity also, one with and different from the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada says this is a perfect understanding of in our Bhagavad school. Okay, so this is also in the third canto by Kapila Dev. He explains that also. Brahma, Narada and all others are simultaneously one with the Lord and different from the Supreme Lord. We are all one with him, just as gold ornaments are one in quality with the stock gold, but the individual gold ornament is never equal in quantity with the stock gold. Now this point is also very important. Why? Yeah, but why is it important to know that we are the same quality as the Lord? Eternal, spiritual, Satchitananda. No, but why is it important for you to know?
Best way to understand God is to understand us
also. Best is to understand God is to understand us.
How we think, like, people ask why God sent us here, and then we give a simple example of how do you punish your child, that they understand better how we came here.
Okay, then?
So, first we need to understand that we are not material.
Okay, we need to understand that we are not...
God is a person.
No, that wasn't the question. We need to understand we need not material.
In terms of quality, in terms of quality we are same.
Yeah.
We are not God. We are not material, not God. In terms of quality, we are same with him. In terms of quantity, we are.
Quality we are same.
In terms of quantity, we are.
Quantity we are not. So it is important to know, because what is our relationship, right? Yeah. Master and servant, but we are of the same nature. But then there's that we were created for a specific role, and we are of his nature.
It's like a servant of a king, also has all the operations of
a king. Yeah. So this is also another thing Srila Prabhupada mentions many, many times, many purports. That we are part and parcel, part and parcel, part and parcel. We are also spirit souls, part and parcel. Because two things. First thing, we keep forgetting we are spirit soul. And then, if we know we are spirit soul, we think we are independent. Huh?
We think we are God.
Yeah, independent of God, and we are God. So that's another reason why he keeps emphasis of the difference between the Supreme Lord and ourselves. Or for anyone who just takes a book and looks through it, they will also get the information that they are spirit soul like that. So this is covering all the reasons why. So in that sense, it's kind of like very perfect. And even though all these are expansions of the Lord himself is never... He is always complete. Yeah, Purnam. He is always complete. No matter how many expansions come from him, he is always complete. And he doesn't become small and then disappear. No, he is always remaining the same person. And this is called inconceivable. Achincha potency. Text 17. Swadishnyam pratapan prano
Swadishnyam pratapan prano
Bahischa pratapati asau
Bahischa pratapati asau
Evam virajam pratapams
Evam virajam pratapams
Tapati antar bahi puman
Tapati antar bahi puman.
The sun illuminates both internally and externally by expanding its radiation. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by expanding His universal form, maintains everything in the creation both internally and externally. Alright, so now Prabhupada explains, the universal form of the Lord, or the impersonal feature of the Lord known as the Brahma Jyoti, is clearly explained here. Now, again, on our own, it's very hard to understand some of these things. And Srila Prabhupada makes it very easy. Okay, now you know the first one was Paramatma, now we know this is Brahman, Brahma Jyoti. But if Srila Prabhupada didn't explain, then we are confused in the first one already. We don't know who that personality already. So it is so important to read Prabhupada's purports. Sometimes we don't want to read these purports, we skip, you know. Okay, this is boring, and then go. But actually, we miss out many important things, you know. And even sometimes, like, you know, when I tell you to read because I want to skip, you should read, you know. For want of time, sometimes I skip. So go back and look through it. When you are discussing among groups, go through everything carefully. Alright, so continuing. Okay, the known as Brahma Jyoti is clearly explained here and compared to the radiation of the sun. The sunshine may expand all over the universe, but the source of the sunshine, namely the sun planet, or the deity known as Surya Narayana, is the basis of such radiation. So, in the same way, Krishna is the basis of the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. And today we were discussing, because scientists don't know what this sunlight is. Some say it's a particle, some say it's wave. And then when we were looking at talking about it, and we were looking in the internet to find out what the scientists are saying, they're saying it's combination of both now. Previously they were arguing two school. Now in the quantum right, they are saying it is both. The problem is, it is inconceivable. The other problem is, the scientists are using their senses and their material equipments to try to figure out that which is beyond the material senses. So you can get the information that is both. So they are not sure how to measure it, because they don't have the tools to measure it. But actually, according to the science of devotion, if you follow the teachings of all the different acharyas, you will be able to actually use yourself to test the elements and so on. And that's like in Astanga Yoga. So the yogi knows which coverings, what to do and so on. As he progresses, the knowledge is revealed to him. Otherwise, you have to take an instrument and measure the voltage, this and that. And so you get some readings and you accept certain things, findings based on that. It may not be wrong because the instrument saying that, but it is not the complete picture. Yeah. So in this case, we understand that this impersonal Brahma Jyoti is actually coming from a original source, Krishna. And now, again, once again, Brahma Jyoti can only come up to the covering, the Viraj River, huh? The covering of this material universe. And then after that, how is it reflected? It comes through the sun planet. And then the light is emanated. And how it's coming? It's coming through the Lord's potency. Yeah. Surya Narayan. Yeah. As he's explaining here. Okay. So this is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14:27. So Brahmano hi Rajistaham Amritasya Vasyasya Cha. Right. So the universal form of the Lord is the secondary imagination of the impersonal form of the Lord. So this is the point. You know, it's a secondary imagination of an already impersonal form of the Lord. But the primary form of the Lord is Shyamasunda, which I read earlier, with two hands playing on his eternal flute. So now, Prabhupada gives more information, and this are like technical information. 75% of the expansive radiation of the Lord is manifested in the spiritual sky, Tripad Vibhuti. And 25% of his personal radiation comprehends the entire expansion of the material universes. Therefore, we say 1/4 and 3/4 of his potency is like that. Yeah. This is also explained and stated in the Bhagavad Gita 10:42. Thus, the 75% expansion of his radiation is called his internal energy, whereas the 25% expansion is called the external energy of the Lord. And this is called Bahiranga Shakti. Okay? The other one is known as Antaranga Shakti. Right? The living entities who are residents of the spiritual as well as the material expansions are his marginal energy, Tathastha Shakti. And they are at liberty to live in either of the energies, external or internal. So there you go. Again, Srila Prabhupada confirms, we have free will to go between these two. So he says, those who live within the spiritual expansion of the Lord are called liberated souls, Nitya Siddhas. Whereas the residents of the external expansions are called the conditioned souls, Nitya Baddha. We are eternally conditioned here. We can just make an estimate of the number of residents of the internal expansions in comparison with the number of residents in the external energy and may easily conclude that the liberated souls are far more numerous than the conditioned souls. So as I explained, right, in a town, you have a big city, and then how many people are really criminals, right? So they get a small place in the city and they it's put there. So same way, the spiritual universe, we wanted to have a union against the Lord, and then the Lord said, okay, go to your prison or go to your corner of your classroom. So we went to this corner and then we are stuck for a while. So that is what's happening now.
So 25% is still a very big number.
Yeah, because we are all, what are we? No, we are spirit. For the Lord to hold this, whose same nature as him, he really needs to hold us down. Right. Yeah. So therefore we are stuck here by his powerful energy. Not ordinary. Devi Eshu Gunamai Mama Maya Durata. That's why it's so difficult to get out. Otherwise you can just do some yoga, stand and zoom out, you know. So the Lord has made sure no such thing. You stay here, Baba. Yeah. Otherwise, we will cause disturbance in the spiritual realm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Prabhu is saying we are already causing disturbance here so much. So that's why we cannot get out until we rectify ourselves. And then the material nature will release its her grip and allow us to go through the layers out. Just imagine how many layers. Each one?
10 times
bigger. Even if you take 1 inch, you do, it gets so big, right? 1 inch, 10 inch, like that, 100 and so on. It goes so big, yeah. Yeah, soul is small, and this we also have covering, 7 coverings on the body. So that's why, that's the reason the Lord uses so much potency to hold us down. Because He wants to rectify us out of
compassion
and love for us. That's all. Otherwise the Lord can say, this renegades bus, destroy them. He could, right? Easily. But He's not. He could easily destroy it. But no, He is very compassionate. Even though we fight with Him, and He's still waiting for us.
So I'm trying to understand, this material creation is kind of material energy, right? It's like creation material energy. But then still one can access internal energy within the material realm.
Yes.
So it's not completely material energy then, right?
No, this is all encased, one area of this, but the spiritual energy is special, you know, it can also be pervasive, yes, and we are spirit, we are here, also, yeah, it is achinja shakti. Huh?
For a liberated person, the same material energy acts as a spiritual.
Yes, Mahamaya and Yogamaya, that is inconceivable at this moment, I can't explain that, but simultaneously, as soon as you give up all the attachment, everything, and only depend on Krishna, at that very moment you are in the spiritual realm. So it is kind of inconceivable. Yeah. Because it is part of His energy, so that same energy can transform to spirit. Okay, text 18. Somritasya bayasyesho martyam annam yad atyagat mahimaisa tato brahman purushasya duratyaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the controller of immortality and fearlessness, and He is transcendental to death and the fruitive actions of the material world. O Narada, O Brahmana, it is therefore difficult to measure the glories of the Supreme Person. So, Prabhupada writes, the glories of the Lord in the transcendental, 75% of the Lord's internal potency are stated in the Padma Purana. It is said that those planets in the spiritual sky, which comprises the 75% expansion of the internal potency of the Lord, are far, far greater than those planets in the total universes composed of the external potency of the Lord. So again, to show how, yeah, you cannot actually comprehend and measure, actually. You know, this 75-25 is just to give us an understanding of how much He invests of His potency. Exactly. Both are actually immeasurable. We can't really measure. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, early on we read in the beginning, I think second chapter, where Prabhupada says, no one in this universe can measure even this material universe. No one. Huh?
Even this one universe.
Yeah, even in one this universe. Nobody can measure this. Yeah. So that's innumerable.
So the sun, there is only one sun in the whole universe.
In this universe, yeah, there's one Surya now.
And it is bringing Brahmajyoti,
yes,
and dispersing across,
yes,
all universes.
Yes.
No,
but sun is
in one universe, one sun.
That's what I meant.
No? Yeah.
So, but it is distributing the Brahmajyoti,
yes,
within the universe.
Yes.
So where is it? Where is the sun then? Is it in one corner and then?
Mm-hmm.
able to distribute like that, or is it in the middle?
In the fifth canto, you'll see the sun is actually riding a chariot. So he goes around a particular path. Yeah. So that
he's not distributing Brahmajyoti equally to every part of the material universe.
Something like that, yeah.
Because he himself is moving.
Yeah, so in some part there's darkness also. Yeah. Yeah.
Lighted by the jewels of the hoods of the snake.
In the lower planetary system, the light is reflected from the jewel, but they also got to get that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they can't reflect anything. Yeah. All right. So continuing, Prabhupada quotes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita: the total universes in the external potency of the Lord are compared to a bucket full of mustard seeds. One mustard seed is calculated to be a universe itself. If one of the universes in which we are now living, the number of planets cannot be counted by human energy. There you go. It's inconceivable. Even in the planet, in this universe, we can't calculate. And it's true. If you go outside, you look at a number of stars, you can't count it. And scientists just take some calculation, right, based on some equation which gives a random number, close approximation, but it's never accurate. So how can we think of the sum total in all the universes which are compared to a bucket full of mustard seeds? And the planets in the spiritual sky are at least three times the number of those in the material sky. Such planets, being spiritual, are in fact transcendental to the material modes. Therefore, they are constituted in the mode of unalloyed goodness only. The conception of spiritual bliss, Brahmanda, Brahmananda, is fully present in those planets. That means always blissful. Not only that, these spiritual planets are eternal, indestructible, and free from all kinds of inebrieties. Experience in the material world. So much problem we face here, nothing you will face there. You will only feel Brahmanda, bliss, total bliss. So, this is information for us. There is happiness that is far superior, far greater. What are we going to do, you know? How are we going to want to go back, you know? Are we just going to be enamored by the material nature and continue our existence here? So this thing should be coming in our mind as we continue reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Yes.
So we understand this happiness and distress because of the duality basically. So I'm just thinking how those people must, with bliss always there, so how they understand that it's bliss?
Well, when you are happy, you know you are happy, right? Right? For example, you know it's happy.
Huh?
Yeah, that one is, you know, like you know in your life there's something. When someone do something nice, you may smile a little bit, right? And then someone who's more dear to you and thus you become more joyful, right? So you know that degrees of happiness even in this world, right? So in the spiritual world, that happiness is, you know, it's cannot be actually compared. It is said that happiness in the spiritual world is a million times more than the bliss you experience even in the Brahma Jyoti. So actually it means you cannot really compare, you cannot even conceive of that happiness, but it is immeasurable. The bliss is inconceivable actually. And it is also Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. It's always ever expanding. So therefore, you know, simply by saying happiness here, it's kind of, you know, not a good example, but that's how it is. It's ever expanding.
So this is the concept of duality. In the material world, the duality is there. So when to experience happiness, only when you experience misery, then you say, you know.
Actually, in the material world, you're always suffering. Always suffering. It's just that when one source of suffering is removed, you feel a bit relief, and that relief feeling you say is happiness.
Gap between misery.
Gap between misery.
dunking chair.
Dunking chair, yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada mentioned that. Yeah. It's an interruption of your misery. Every time your misery is interrupted, you are happy. Right? For example, you sit on a chair and then somebody put a big nail there and then out of respect you sit there, but you don't want to be disrespectful to the host, but then the pain is there. Right? And when you can talk and you smile and then and it's true. And then when you say, "Oh, excuse me, I want to go to the bathroom," when you go there, you say, "Oh, this." So that is the happiness in this material world. It's like that. That is our level of understanding happiness. But spiritual world happiness is cannot be understood actually. Yeah. It is so happy. You are so happy.
Prabhupada, it's ecstasy. Prabhupada said, "You don't know what
ecstasy is." Because Prabhupada knows what ecstasy is. I mean, it's true. When you think about it, you have to laugh at it because Prabhupada knows him. You don't have your pretending ecstasy. It's so amazing, you know. But then look at his mercy. He's giving us so much information. Let's continue and see how wonderful his purports are. The conception of spiritual bliss is fully present in those planets. Each of them is eternal, indestructible and free from all kinds of inebrieties, as I explained before. So they are also self-illuminating and more powerfully dazzling, if you can imagine, the total sunshine of millions of mundane suns. So these planets are really brilliantly shining, but then you don't need sunglasses, you know, because once you are there, you don't need all that. It's just amazing. It's self-effulgent, these planets. Not here we need the sun. In the spiritual world, there's no need. You know? Krishna says that also, right? No need, no electricity, all that. He says you don't need that. The inhabitants of those planets are liberated from birth, death, old age and diseases and have full knowledge of everything. They are all godly and free from all sorts of material hankerings. They have nothing to do there except to render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Narayana, who is the predominating deity of such Vaikuntha planets. Sometimes the Lord may ask them, "Please go and save somebody in this material world," and then they come. Actually, they don't want to leave, you know, because they are so happy serving the Lord. And then when the Lord requests, they will be happy to serve the Lord in that way. Those liberated souls are engaged incessantly in singing songs mentioned in the Sama Veda. Veda is Sangha Pada Kramopanishade Gayantiyam Samagaha. All of them are personifications of the five Upanishads. Tripa Vibhuti, or the 75% known as the internal potency of the Lord, is to be understood as the kingdom of God far beyond the material sky. And when we speak of Pada Vibhuti, or the 25% comprising his external energy, we should understand that this refers to the sphere of the material world. So anyway, he talks more about all this, and you can read the rest. Text 19. Padeshu sarva bhutani.
Padeshu sarva bhutani.
Umsha sthiti pado vidu.
Umsha sthiti pado vidu.
Amritam kshemam abhayam.
Amritam kshemam abhayam.
Trimurdno dhyayi murdasu.
Trimurdno dhyayi murdasu.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be known as the supreme reservoir of all material opulences by the 1/4 of his energy in which all living entities exist. deathlessness, fearlessness, and freedom from the anxieties of old age and disease exists in the kingdom of God, which is beyond the three higher planetary systems and beyond the material coverings. Okay, now Srila Prabhupada also gives how these things are the energies of the Lord. No? Out of the total manifestations of the Sandini energy of the Lord, 1/4 is displayed in the material world. So it's the same thing. Now he's giving the energy that he is actually covering. This Sandini actually is the potency of Balaram. Yeah. And 3/4 are displayed in the spiritual world. The Lord's energy is divided into three component parts, namely Sandini, Samvit, and Lahadini. Now, he has many, many, many potencies. The main parts, component, he is explaining here. In other words, he is the full manifestation of existence, knowledge, and bliss. So, Sandini is existence, Samvit is the knowledge, and Lahadini is the bliss energy. In the material world, such a sense of existence, knowledge, and pleasure is meagerly exhibited. And all living entities who are minute parts and parts of the Lord are eligible to realize such consciousness of existence, knowledge, and bliss very minutely in the liberated stage. Whereas in the conditioned stage of material existence, they can hardly appreciate what is the factual, existential, cognizable, and pure happiness of life. So that's what we are talking about. The happiness you experience in this world is nothing. It's nothing, actually. Nothing. The liberated souls who exist in far greater numerical strength than those souls in the material can factually experience the potency of the above mentioned Sandini, Samvit, and Lahadini energies of the Lord in the matter of deathlessness, fearlessness, and freedom from old age and disease. So now you know that Lord's main three components, what are they? Sandini, Samvit, and Lahadini. Yes. And what they all represent. And from Sandini, we know this is from Balaram is the expanded. And then from Lahadini, you know it is?
Radharani.
Okay.
Is it back to the Satchit Ananda?
Huh?
So Satchit Ananda Vigraha, as we say. So Sat is the eternal or...
Yes, yes.
Chit is knowledge and
yes.
Ananda is the bliss.
Yes.
So, one energy map is Balaram's energy, another is Radha. What is the
knowledge? Knowledge, Krishna. But its more detailed description is given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, actually. Forgot the book. Bhaktivinoda Thakur now I remember, the Jaiva Dharma. Yeah. It's explained all these energies very clearly. So if you want to know more, you can read that. And I think there is a BBT, there's a book published by Gopi Pranadhan, I believe, Jaiva Dharma. So you can read that. It's a good book to read. Huh? And you can read that, and then you see how Srila Prabhupada is using all this information here, actually. Yeah. All right, in the material world, the planetary system arranged in three spheres called three loka or swarga, Martya and Patala. So they are how these planetary systems are arranged within this material world. Alright, then in the upper three planetary systems are called Sattvika planets in the upper planetary system. Because they provide facilities for a long duration life and relative freedom from disease and old age, as well as a sense of fearlessness. There's very little fear, that's what he's saying. Great sages and saints are promoted beyond the heavenly planets to Maharloka. But that also is not the place of complete fearlessness, because at the end of one kalpa, the Maharloka is annihilated and the inhabitants have to transport themselves to still higher planets. That means they can go higher at that time.
By the strength of their pious activities?
Yes, by that time of annihilation, they must be ready to...
Otherwise there's a chance of falling.
Yes. They all must have been, due to association, they raise their consciousness and they're able to rocket transcend that level to another level. Otherwise, yeah, they will have to take birth again. Yeah. But that also is not the place of complete fearlessness. Because at the end of one kalpa, this thing is destroyed. Yet, even on these planets, no one is immune to death. There may be a comparative extension of life, expansion of knowledge and sense of full bliss, but factual deathlessness, fearlessness and freedom from old age, disease, etc. are possible only beyond the material spheres or covering of material sky. So anything within this material universe will have to die. No?
I thought like 3 or 4 days ago we discussed that in the Svargaloka planets there is no concept of disease and death, they'll be just like a death.
It means they will die, means they not like die like us, but they'll have to give up the position and fall into the material.
And here Prabhupada again mentions old age diseases.
Yeah.
The higher planetary systems also, there is a prolonged disease period.
Not necessarily. They don't have disease, but he says all these are there in this material universe. Yeah, they may be comparative. He says, extensions of all these things.
Agni had once.
See, he says freedom from old age, freedom from disease. So all these are there in this higher planet. Still there is some...
There might be gross diseases.
Not like us, but still not like that. Still there's a fear that if they don't go further high, they have to give up. And when total annihilation comes, they have to give up. Yeah, you were saying?
No, I think in one of my classes it was there that Agni had indigestion because a lot of ghee was, at that time in the sacrifice they used a lot of ghee.
Mm.
He is consuming all that ghee.
So,
he had indigestion, then he comes to the material world and then Lord Krishna and Arjuna is actually sitting. And
oh, they help him.
Yeah, they help him. Burn the, you
give out all the herbs.
Yeah.
To cool him.
Maya Dhanava stories.
Cool him. The forest. Yeah. Well, you can say like that. Yeah. I don't know whether that's disease or not.
Yeah, kind of.
No, it's there in the.
Says disease?
No. He has indigestion.
Yeah, you can say indigestion, but not disease, because they are free from disease actually, unless they are cursed by some powerful sage, then they get something and they'll come down to get purified or something like that. When they get cursed, chandala, or you suffer leprosy, they'll come to the earthly planets. Yeah, but not
even that they have all the Vedic knowledge, they should be able to surrender to the Lord and go very quickly.
Yeah, but then it's like, you know, if you are in a public bar where there's a high, big music and strobe lights going on, what are you going to do? Dance with the crowd, or you want to go to your room and chant like that? There's so much enjoyment, so much. But of course, there are people in the heavenly planets who dedicate themselves to worshipping the Supreme Lord. There are, yeah, definitely there are. But yeah, there's preaching going on, but I'm like, Narada Muni goes there to preach, yeah. Like Nalakuvara and Manigriva, all of this. So he goes there because there are people who are also doing devotional service.
Not about disco
music. Not in that level, but...
Like Narada Muni has given Srimad Bhagavatam, and if there is Srimad Bhagavatam recitation going on, they can very quickly get out of that cycle.
Yeah, so those who take it up, they will go. It says very clearly they can go, but then their enjoyment is so good.
But in Maharloka, we are talking about sages.
Maharloka, they are, yes. So
they are sages, they are not necessarily.
Yeah, they are almost subtle, they are very close to getting out. Yeah. So chances are they will get out, you know, generally, because they will follow the Brahma, Lord Brahma, that's right.
So in the scriptures, we see fall down from Swarga, but did we see fall down from Mahar and Satyaloka?
Generally, I've never read. Yeah, yeah. But they feel compassion for us. Okay. Remember we were reading earlier on? Such person feel compassion for us. So it's possible that they may come down out of compassion to help us. And then sometimes you find a great spiritual sadhu or something like that.
Like Vasishtha Muni, he keeps on traveling between these various planets.
Well, Vasishtha Muni is a pure devotee actually, yeah. But I'm saying these sages sometimes they can come down. We don't know. But they may come down to help the suffering living entities. Sometimes you don't know how they may take birth, you know, they can take birth in a big family and then they can do many wonderful things.
So for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, it's not like everybody is going back to Goloka, they may have various stages, so they may go to
it is, Mahaprabhu. What you are saying is a possibility, uh-huh. Many of us may have to just, well, not necessarily Mahaloka, but we may have to come many times to get purified, you know, before we go back, yeah. And yeah, there's possibility some devotees may go up because the story of Gopaka Kumar, you know. Kumar. So even though he went, he wasn't satisfied. So that is another possibility also.
Or somebody may get satisfied and they stay there for a little while.
Possible. But if your original thing is with in whatever planet Krishna, it is, Krishna. That is where you will go ultimately. Yeah. You may not be satisfied in another place. You can stop for, you know, vacation or what, but stay after that you'll go, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Text 20, yeah? Right? Yeah. Padastrayo bahischasan.
Padastrayo bahischasan.
Aprajanam yas ashramaha.
Aprajanam yas ashramaha.
Antastri lokyastu aparo.
Antastri lokyastu aparo.
Grihamedo brihadvrataha.
Grihamedo brihadvrataha.
The spiritual world, which consists of 3/4 of the Lord's energy, is situated beyond this material world, and it is especially meant for those who will never be reborn. Others who are attached to family life and who do not strictly follow celibacy vows must live within the 3 material worlds. That's very straightforward, you know. If you really want to get out, then we have to really... Huh? Really practice seriously, yeah. And then help each other, because we are all trapped here. It's not like one person thinking I'll do better and not help the others. So ultimately the Vanashram Dharma system is particularly is meant for us to get higher and get out of this material world, no? Which is what Prabhupada says. The climax of the system of Vanashram Dharma, Sanatana Dharma is clearly expressed here in this particular verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. The highest benefit that can be awarded to a human being is to train him to be detached from sex life, particularly because it is only due to sex indulgence that the condition life of material existence continues birth after birth. So Prabhupada makes it very clear, he's not going to beat around the bush. It's because of this is a disease, the sex indulgence. A human civilization in which there is no control of sex life is a 4th class civilization, because in such an atmosphere there is no liberation of the soul encaged in the material body. Not possible. This is also a disease. Yeah, you can say like that, yeah. In the next paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, in order to award the highest benefit of human life, the Varnashram system trains the follower to adopt the vow of celibacy beginning from the order of Brahmachari. Brahmachari life is for students who are educated to follow strictly the vow of celibacy. Youngsters who have no taste of sex life can easily follow the vow of celibacy. And once fixed in the principle of such a life, one can very easily continue the highest perfection stage, attaining the kingdom of the 3/4 energy of the Lord. So therefore, it's very important to protect and raise children and not get them exposed to sex life. Whereas in modern society now, they really freely want them to mix and have sex life. So then they can make money out of this thing. It's all making money. But then you find once they get the taste, they are stuck. Very difficult to give up the taste of sex life. Huh?
Laws in this country are so bad.
Because?
Can't.
Yeah, that means they say you go ahead and do it. That's what it is. Yeah. They don't want to say don't. In fact, they don't. Nobody tells, no teacher tells you to practice celibacy. Yeah. Yeah. I was just reading today in China that they have teams of people who go around. If any family has more than one or two children, depending on where you are. If you are in the city, you can only have one. If you are in the countryside, you can have only two child. So So if you have one, more than one, they'll come and harass you. In the old days, they'll throw them in prison. Now they make you fine. So it happened that recently they went with one person who had more than two children, I think. Right? And then what happened was this squad, people of a group who came and harassed this. The child got frightened, was 2.5 years old or something. So ran outside in front of these guys who were driving and got killed. So now it's a big case going on. The government. So this is what happens, huh? When you don't understand what the goal of human life is. You're going after this, suffering, you want another child, and then you go through so many things. Alright. Towards the end of that first, second paragraph, Prabhupada writes, any form of religious principles in which the followers are trained to pursue the vow of celibacy is good for the human being, because only those who are trained in that way can end the miserable life of material existence. So it's very important to follow this. The principles of Nirvana, as recommended by Lord Buddha, are also meant for ending the miserable life of material existence. And this process in the highest degree is recommended here in the Srimad Bhagavatam with clear perception of ideal perfection. Although, basically, there's no difference between the process of Buddhists, Sankarites and Vaishnavites. That means to control the senses, it's pretty much similar. Okay. For promotion to the highest status of perfection, namely freedom from birth and death, anxiety and fearfulness, not one of these processes allows the follower to break the vow of celibacy. So therefore, it's very important to practice this. Yeah. And for us to practice, we should not let our mind be disturbed by all these movies and pictures. Everywhere you go in the street, they put big billboards of either naked men or naked ladies. Nowadays, I don't know what they feel is exciting, but they put those things. And then the mind is always bombarded with this. And then you hear all the wrong thing, the music. All the garbage goes in, and then your mind starts to make connection. And then once the mind makes a connection, then the intelligence starts saying, yeah, let's do it, and then the senses take over.
Yeah.
Subtle programming always going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Prabhupada continues, and then this is a heavy sentence here. The householders and persons who have deliberately broken the vow of celibacy cannot enter into the kingdom of deathlessness. The pious householders or the fallen yogis or the fallen transcendentalists can be promoted to the higher planets within the material world. But they will fail to enter into the kingdom of deathlessness. So there you go. So it is very important, and we all have to help one another to come to this stage. And if we have difficulty, we have to ask for help so that we can guide the other person. Abrihad vratas are those who have broken the vow of celibacy. The vanaprasthas are those retired from family, and the sannyasis or the renounced person cannot break the vow of celibacy if they want success in the process. The brahmacharis, vanaprastha and sannyasis do not intend to take rebirth, apraja, nor are they meant for secretly indulging in sex life. Such a fallen by the spiritual may be compensated by another chance for human life in good families of learned brahmanas or of rich merchants for another term of elevation. But the best thing is to attain the highest perfection of deathlessness as soon as the human form of life is attained. So what is Prabhupada saying? Just go back in this lifetime. Don't come back. He's in a way he's saying don't come back. Don't waste your time. Because you may be making mistake, but then quickly get out and get out. Because otherwise the whole policy of human life will prove to be a total failure. Okay, then Prabhupada explains about how Chota Haridas, even though he was very close, was also punished because he thought of Mataji, where he went to see, just for that. So we have to follow Prabhupada. Prabhupada is our saving grace, and all the devotees who are advanced are our guide. So we have to take their guide from them, and then hopefully and pray for mercy that we control ourselves and then get out from this material world. Then text 21. Shriti Vichakrame Vishwam Shashana Nashane Ube Yad Avidya Cha Vidya Cha Purushastubhya Ashraya. By his energies, the all-pervading personality of Godhead is thus comprehensively the master in the activities of controlling and in devotional service. He is the ultimate master of both nescience and the factual knowledge of all situations. The word Visvan is significant in this verse. One who travels perfectly in every field of activity is called the Purusha or Kshetragya. These two terms, Kshetragya and Purusha, are equally applicable to both the individual self and the Supreme Self, the Lord. Prabhupada quotes the verse from Bhagavad Gita, Kshetragya chapi mam viddi sarva kshetreshu bharata kshetra kshetragnayo jnanam yatta jnanam matam mama. Kshetra means a place, and one who knows a place is called the Kshetragya. The individual self knows about his limited field of activities, but the Supreme Self, the Lord, knows about the unlimited field of activities. The individual soul knows about his own thinking, feeling and willing activities, but the Super Soul, the Paramatma, the Supreme Controller, being present everywhere, knows everyone's thinking, feeling and willing activities. And as such, the individual living entity is the minute master of his personal affairs, whereas the Supreme Person of Godhead is the master of everyone's affairs, past, present and future. Only the ignorant person does not know this difference between the Lord and living entities. So we forget also that the Lord is in our heart and He knows what we are thinking, what nonsense we are doing. And so therefore Prabhupada says, if we are in that situation, you are a ignorant person. Now we are not trying to be ignorant, right? We are trying to be knowledgeable in the science of realization. But still, because we are so much enamored by the material nature, we are always pursuing things that makes us become ignorant. Alright, then the next paragraph. Prabhupada says, the living entity is partially cognizant, and because of that he is therefore sometimes forgetful of his own identity. So he is only partially cognizant. This is one of the reasons we are forgetful of ourselves. What to speak, right? What we did yesterday also we may be forgetful. Right? This forgetfulness is specifically manifested in the field of the ekapad vibhuti of the Lord or in the material world. But in the three-part vibhuti field of actions or in the spiritual world, there is no forgetfulness by the living entities who are free from all kinds of contaminations resulting from the forgetful state of existence. He keeps talking about the 3/4 and 1/4. So where in the spiritual world we don't get covered, the material world we are always covered. So as long as you have material body, you are bound to forget. What does Krishna say? Ajopi? Yeah, Ajopi son. So he says, you know, my body is spiritual. Therefore, I never die. Whereas you, Arjuna, have taken many births. So therefore, you forget. So that means death is to forget. Whatever we did.
Means that the Lord's associates are continuously taking birth.
No.
Because Arjuna has taken several births.
That's different. In that case, it's a leela. Not like that. Only that's for Arjuna and himself. But once they are in the spiritual world, they don't experience those things. And that's why he talks about three-part vibhuti and eka-part vibhuti. The one can remember, the other one can't. What is that sound? Oh, it's like in the aircraft, you know? When you're an aircraft, it's like boom, tung, like the calling for the air hostess. Well, let me finish this. All right, then. Material world is full of nescience, whereas the spiritual world is full of knowledge, avidya and vidya. There are different stages of vidya, and they are called dharma, artha and moksha. The idea of moksha and liberation held by the monist in the matter of oneness of the living entity and the Lord by ultimate merging in one is also the last stage of materialism or forgetfulness, because they want to give up their identity. So therefore Prabhupada says that's also a snare, dangerous position. The individual self can never be equal to the Lord in cognizance, otherwise he could not be placed in the state of forgetfulness. So again, there's a comparison to say who is the Lord. So therefore, there's a difference between us and the Lord. And we need to accept that point. And in the last paragraph, Prabhupada writes, in the field of nescience, activities are directed toward lording it over the creation. That's what we do here. We always want to control somebody or some person or something. It is a fact. In the material world, therefore, everyone is engaged in acquiring material opulence to lord it over the material world. Therefore, there is always clash and frustration. Someone wants to control another person, and the person don't want to be controlled, and they are fighting. And these are all symptoms of ignorance. But when you have Krishna consciousness, you don't fight. You just say, let's work together and move towards Krishna. Okay? Alright, so we'll stop here. Tomorrow onwards, we'll continue with text 22. A lot of information here, but it's more technical rather than, you know, but we can try to see what helps us in our devotional life. All right.
Yeah.